Last week we looked at Lot personally, not so much as the text in Peter, but we looked at two of the many points we had outlined there in the on the WhatsApp, no, Telegram. We looked at Lot was wakened in his... Oh, 3 points. Lot was wakened in his desires after Abraham took him down to Egypt. Lot was weak in his devotional life. He wasted the privilege that he had been taught by Uncle Abraham. And Lot was worldly in his desires. Now, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldeans, a heathen place, was called by God, because God knew what was in Abraham, that he would be faithful to him. And then Lot was worldly in his desires, yes, had said in his heart. Let's pray and then we'll move on from there. Thank you, Lord, for the good examples and the bad examples that append in your word, and you don't hide these things from us. And the saints of old, these things are written about them for our admonition, for our learning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be faithful, knowing the end of these men's lives, even many of them recorded in the book of Hebrews, faithful men, faithful women who served you. Bless, Lord, the word to us and make it a part of our lives as we go away tonight, more determined to follow you until the end of our life, and that might be a book of remembrance written too about us, as there was in the Old Testament times, who faithfully followed you until we were called into your presence. Bless the word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 13, we go to start. Genesis 13, 18 and 19, a lot of our things come from. We read, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated them one from the other." So, we say young man go west, well, he went east. But anyway, neither the direction doesn't matter in that sense, but the way he went was towards Sodom. That's where he desired to go. That was his choice. His decision was a wrong decision because of where he went to. We all come to decisions, you know. Some decisions when we're young in life make a big difference at the other end of life. I remember our chemistry teacher, I don't know why he was talking about it, more in the physics class it should have been, but he was talking about, you know, send a beam of light out and you only have to just move it a fraction, just a little tiny fraction. And where that beam goes to, we'll be billions of light years away from each other eventually. And so it is with the decisions we make in life and when we're younger. They can be a long way away if we are let to live long enough. But life's long enough to tell the difference of the decisions we make and the consequences they have. Where we live, you know, we didn't know where we're going to live when we were younger. Didn't know where it'd end up. Didn't know when we come through here for our honeymoon and we met in that old shed next door with Pastor Goff in the evening service that we'd be here just a year later as assistant pastor. Didn't know that. And didn't know that we'd go out there for many a barbecue with the family at Hume Weir and be there on our honeymoon. There was a lot of things we didn't know. It just decisions are made and think consequences happen. But praise the Lord for the good decisions, and pray the Lord give us grace to overcome the ones that are not right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, there it talks about Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he made some bad decisions in beating up the Egyptian and killing the Egyptian, didn't he? But it was all in God's plan eventually. And 40 years later, he came back to lead the people of God out of Egypt. It was all in God's plan. But he chose right, didn't he? Moses chose right to suffer affliction with the people of God. He could have become somebody else and something else and just stayed out there with his father-in-law, Jethro. But he chose to go as God commanded, although he was a bit reluctant to start with. Lord, I haven't got a mouth. I mean, I've got a mouth, but not like my brother. He can talk leg of a nine pot. Not quite like that, but, you know, he could talk. I can't talk. You've got the wrong man here, Lord. And the Lord got angry with him, didn't he? He got upset. I made your mouth. I can speak through you just as well and use you. In fact, because he couldn't, God could be magnified through him because it would be God talking anyway. And through our weaknesses, we made strong. But anyway, Moses chose right. In Joshua, remember what he said about him in his house in Joshua, the last chapter, 24 and 15? If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's a good challenge for a family, isn't it? Who are you going to serve? Who, Dad, are you going to serve? Are you going to be Joshua and serve the Lord? Because that's going to end you somewhere. You think of that. I was thinking of this today, not in a different light, but the choices we make as parents and affect our children and our grandchildren, and on it goes. You think of some people that have chosen to forsake the Lord, forsake the church, his work, and where that has ended their children, let alone their grandchildren. It's sad that many people will spend eternity in hell because somebody, some parents, decided to forsake the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And I know that the Lord has that all weighed out on Judgment Day. All that will be weighed out. Are we going to be faithful? Because people are looking on. Little ones, take account. I did that because you chose that. I did that and reacted this way because you did this. And the Lord's looking on. Please him. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Here we're given some direct instruction on choosing. Lot chose the wrong way. His decision was wrong. Now therefore write this song for you. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter here. Okay, I'll go back to chapter 30, verse 19. I was looking at 31. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. This is the choice. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed, is it just what I say, you and those, your seed, may live. May live. Choose life. Why wouldn't we? But it's a hard one. It might be a hard life. But choose life, because life is eternal that he's talking about here. And that there, you're given the option. We're given the option. And in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, Elijah said, or put it before the people in 1 Kings 18 and 21, he said this. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long, you almost finish it, will ye halt between two opinions? You know, you're at the crossroads. And will I go this way? Will I go that way? What choice will I make? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people and the people answered him, not a word. Stone-faced, just looking at him. They were going to serve Baal. They'd made their decision. They weren't going to serve God. Choose you this day whom you will serve, said Joshua. Elijah put the same challenge. How long are you going to hold? You see, they were serving Baal, then they'd come down and serve God. Well, you can't have both. You're going to serve one or the other. Choose it. You hear what we say? Sit on the fence. You can't do that. Choose which one. Now, and the command that's given in Acts 17 and verse 30, the times of this ignorance God has winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So, choose repentance. Acts 17, verse 30, commands people to repent. As Paul preached to them on Mars Hill there at Athens, he said, make the choice. You've got to make the choice. And he's going to come, and he's appointed a day in which you will judge the world in righteousness, and the choice you've made will determine your eternity. And he has to make a choice, and your choice, based on your choice. And God, that's what Calvinism is. It's so off beam. How can God make a choice if he's made the choice for you in salvation? How can it be just and just send a person to hell if he made the choice to send you to hell in the first place? That just does not make sense. Does not add up at all to me. So that's not justice in anybody's terms, let alone God's. So he's going to. Why would he even have a judgment in that case? He's appointed a day in which he will judge the world based on the person's repentance to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 10, there we have where there's Mary and Martha, and chapter 10 verse 42, and Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. Have you chosen the good part? Have you chosen like Joshua chose? Choose you this day, as but each for me and my house, we've chosen to follow the Lord. Let's make up our minds and choose to follow the Lord, and it's going to cost. And it's going to be people looking on, and your choice is going to affect a lot of people down the track if the Lord tarries. Okay. Lot was wrong in the decision he made. Has heard Abraham to see what happened. He never met. Well, he might have met him. They might have come to visit him now and then from Sodom. I don't think so. Why do you think Lot's kids and their wives and Lot's grandkids might not have visited Abraham? You think about that. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. I remember way back when we were kids, we had a lot of fellowship with family, cousins and that. And then there was a change in doctrine on different families' parts. And then it was just sort of drifted right apart. Never went to see them again. Never got there again. And it was based on because they went a different route. They went a different track. They believed something different. And they wouldn't feel comfortable around what we were preaching and teaching and what we were behaving. And now there's lots of relatives that are just not saved. Just not saved. And they don't be comfortable coming to where we're at. They just don't like it. In fact, they're so uncomfortable they won't come probably to funerals, especially if I'm preaching. I know some of them will gladly come. I know one of them was a pastor's wife, said, I want you to do my funeral. I don't know that I'm going to do it, but I was a bit surprised when they said that for what denomination they were in. And I thought, wow. But she's one that fronted one of the nephews and said, that was a good service today. Didn't believe a word he said. And she was a bit shocked because she didn't know that they were that drifted away from what the Bible says. You know, people, when we make decisions and the directions we take affect a lot of people. Mary chose the good. What way have you chosen? What path have you gone down? Mary chose the good part. And it has been known that she's chosen the good part. You know, Martha, yes, she was a Christian. She went to heaven too. But it told, and the Lord rebuked her for that. Genesis 13, verse 12. Back to Genesis 13, verse 12 this time. How much there is in God's word we can find for instruction. It's good for instruction, isn't it? Good for the way to walk, wherein we should walk. Verse 12. Therefore it shall come to pass... Verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Abraham probably said, don't go down there, don't go into the city. Maybe just feed on the plains of the Jordan. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. I'll just go close. You know, we never intend to get right in there when we go towards, you know, sin will take you, what does it say? Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you there longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. You know, I've got that written down somewhere in the front of my Bible. But no, I think there's some more to it too. And so he just said, I'll just move close, pitched his tent towards Sodom. He Lot was wayward in his direction. You know, I'll just hang around outside the pub. I won't go into the pub. And then you can smell it. It smells rotten, but to a drunk it probably smells good. Yeah, all you have to do is go down to the vineyard. I mean, go down to the grape, where the grapes are, and after they've picked them and there's all the rotten ones, then you get enough smell there. That's bad enough. But Lot was wayward in the direction he went. You know, if we have a weakness in our Christian life, and Satan knows there's a weakness, and he knows our weaknesses, what should we be most wary of? That's the area we should be most guarded in, because that's where the old devil will pick on us. And sometimes he'll pick on our strengths, because we think we get self-confident in the strengths we have. And we can become wayward in the directions we take. These all tie together. In chapter 19 of Genesis and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, where was he before? He was pitching his tent towards Sodom. Where is he now? He's got a house in Sodom, and he's sitting in the gate of Sodom. He's actually in leadership in Sodom now. He's met the man, he's in town, he's got a position of authority, sitting in the gate was to be a judge. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So Lot was willful in his determination to go there, to stay there, to mix with the society of Sodom. I knew a few young ladies that was arguing with their dad about the places they were going. This is way back when I was a teenager. And they said, we're going to witness to the people at the places we're going to. And the father said, no, it's not a place a Christian should be attending. Shouldn't be going there. And there was quite a lot of debate about it all. I remember. But they were willful in their determination, and they went. That paid for it. And the people they've met and the contacts they made over life of many decades, it's cost them. And they sat in the, he sat in the gate in Sodom, and the determination, their willfulness has got to be broken, and God's got to break it. wouldn't listen to the angel's advice. What more advice do you want? He didn't know probably that these men, of these people, that these individuals were angels. They looked, appeared just like men. He should have started asking himself the question, where'd these righteous people turn up from? Where'd these well-dressed individuals come from? These well-worded men that had God's interest at heart, where'd they come from? Wouldn't you ask yourself that question? I would, because there's not many of them around in Sodom. What were they doing down here? He knew they were individuals that were respectable sort of people, because he invited them home. He wanted to have a talk to these guys. So he's willful in his determination. As you look through this chapter, he bowed himself toward them. And then he was wicked in his deliberations. If you go to verse 8 of chapter 19, now behold, I have two daughters. This is when the men of Sodom wanted to take these two visitors, these angels, who have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do to them as is good in your eyes. I think this is the most sad verse to show the heart of a man that in the New Testament is said to be a righteous man. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, that righteous man dwelling among them. That how could a righteous man think of doing such a thing, or allowing such a thing, telling these men of doing such a thing to his daughters, offering his daughters to such filthy individuals as these men? It just shows the disrespect that the men of that day and Lot had for women. I think that's a picture, a little glimpse into the day, the morals of the day that he lived in, of the unsaved people. And folks, all the laws are going to pass in our society is not going to stop the morality sinking in our day to this point. You can pass all the laws you want in Parliament, it's not going to change the heart of man. Only God is going to change the heart. Because this is a righteous man saying this about his daughters. How base for to do what he did. Wicked in his deliberations with these men of Sodom. And Lot was withstood in his decisions. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spoke unto his son-in-laws, and we've mentioned it last time, who married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked to his son-in-laws. And we've basically covered that. Dad, father-in-law, don't believe you. Well, he'd lost his testimony anyway. And that's the last thing, but we don't believe you. We don't believe in your God. That's that religion stuff. Don't talk about that stuff to us. And just take in what he tried to do there. Too late, too little, too late. You should have shut the gate a lot long ago, lot than now. And then verse 14, 32, 37 and 38. He's woeful in his legacy, what he left behind. The testimony, as I mentioned in the prayer earlier, we have good examples and we have bad examples. A lot is a bad example of what we shouldn't do. And so the legacy he left us. Verse 32 of chapter 19. Come, said his daughters that he took with him, let us make our father drink wine and we'll lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. Hey, what did he do back in verse 8? He offered these same girls to the wicked men of Sodom to do whatever they wanted. Now look at their doing. What else do you expect? This is what he's planted. This is the legacy he's left them. This is what they were thinking. This is how they'd been brought up. And this is what they were up to. And verse 37 and 38, this is the legacy eventually. And the firstborn bore a son and called his name what? The same as the father of who? The Moabites. And if you look on your map, your Bible map in the back, where were they? Dead Sea on the sunny side. Well, on the sunrise side of the Dead Sea. And the younger, she also bore him a son and called his name Amy, whatever. The same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day, same side, on the other side. The Edomites. Esau over there too. Throw them all in the same spot as you read other portions of Scripture. Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Hey, when Israel was eventually taken captive by the Babylonians, you know who were there taking those who were running away from Jerusalem? The escapees, these guys, they were taking them, capturing them, and selling them as slaves, selling the escapees from Jerusalem, the Israelis. This is Lot's children doing this to the Israelis. And they were, as you read through the book of Ezekiel, chapter 25, verses 1 to 14, you have each one of these. You have Edom, Moab, and Ammon, all mentioned in, written down for destruction. Written down for destruction. The legacy that was left by Lot had to be annihilated because of the wickedness of them. And what do you have over there? The city in the cliffs. What is it, Kay? You went there. We didn't get there. Petra, yeah, over there. Yeah. And this is where, though they're built into the cliffs, they would be taken captive. The Lord said, no, you're not going to hide away there. So a woeful legacy. Will people, I don't think we're going to live many generations to come, if the Lord tarries, but will people be able to look back? You know, if we could get great, great, great grandfather, I think there's three or four, and then maybe a few more, who came out to Australia to escape religious persecution and say, and look at all the ones spread around Australia, the Jokels, and all the other ones that have got different names, from Perth to here, all over the place. New York bankers, a lot of them over there too, and say, this is your progeny. What do you think of them? This is your legacy. Now, you know, they started spiritual minded, they left those places for persecution reasons. This is your legacy. And wherever it come from earlier, this is where they've been. You see, they made some decisions, and Lot did it too. Well, we're way out of time, so there's a few more. We'll finish a couple more and then get into it further, Lord willing, next week. There's a couple more in Genesis there. But we're writing it down as we live our lives through the choices we make. And it's like the song we sing, you know, they're looking down over the balconies of heaven. Then they can't do it, but, oh, no, don't do that. Our relatives, our uncles and aunts and grandparents, make the right choice. I don't know if they can even ask and talk to the ones that go from here up. Well, how are they doing down there? What are they doing? How wicked is the world becoming? What's going on? It wouldn't be a nice place if you had to be filled in with the bad news.